everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Sorry, it's very rare that I start 10 minutes in delay, but something happened with my sound. I don't know what was happening, but there was little noise. I may still sound weird, but I tried fixing my sound and I messed something up with the settings. And I swear, for 10 minutes, I've been playing with all the gizmos there, trying to find what has happened. It never happened with that setting. Hopefully, I sound okay. But I was really frustrated because 10 minutes of trying and the sound wasn't coming out properly. Now, I know it will sound kind of weird. I'm still doing my fixes. Hopefully, it's consumable. A bit buzzy. Yeah, probably it will be buzzy, but that I will have to work perhaps another time. Wow, that was intense. what's the news? Well, I will talk a little bit about the case of the censorship of Lucas Gage, which is another case where, I mean, it's like a subtle case. I think it's great that the censorship of Twitter at this point is that precise, because it used to be that way too many people were censored, and it was on the basis of just people not liking certain political opinions. For example, I have been banned from Twitter, and there never was a tweet identified that would break the rules. So in a way, it's good that we are just concentrating these days on very extreme and edge cases. I believe that Lucas Gage is an edge case, given what he's done. I mean, he's been doing a whole campaign of covering himself being harassed, being a victim of harassment doesn't allow you to break the rules of Twitter. So I see a lot of people blindly going to support my friend Lucas Gage, and the arguments are not of very high quality, to be honest. So I wanted to just lay it out today in terms of what is being reproached by Elon Musk. We finally hear more about what he's done. It turns out it wasn't the burning of the Talmud video. It wasn't the attacking the Israeli flag with a knife video. In fact, I watched the video more in depth, and it's not a knife. He says it's a sword that represents the Roman... It's a Roman sword of some kind, and he does it to honor the Romans. It's a funny video. I found it funny personally. But apparently it is a tweet, a specific tweet. And here we talk about calls of removal. Elon says that it was a call for removal of Jews from society. And it's always hard because what are we talking about? In liberal, classical liberal philosophy of politics, there is the idea that political societies are freely formed. So from a modern perspective, if you say something like remove someone from society, it might be interpreted as, well, deport them. But is deportation violence? Is Donald Trump, when he deports immigrants at the border, is it violence? Is whatever the state does violence? Those are questions that you end up asking yourself as a libertarian, because ultimately you realize there is violence in our society. It's just that we have a set of special words and categories that allow us to obfuscate this fact. So somehow George Bush bombarding Iraq, killing civilians, that's not violence. That's not murder. Somehow someone else would do it, And in certain contexts, it could be murder, but not this. So we have these special concepts that are truly cognitive dissonance brought out by modern culture. And it's very hard to untie, because now you have Elon saying, well, calling for the removal of Jews from society, which I pointed out, okay, well, it can mean to be excluded from society. I mean, lots of people are calling for my exclusion from society. So is it violence against me? Why don't they get banned from Twitter? You know, lots of people will say, oh, well, you're a rapist. You should be excluded from society. Are they committing violence against me? Why don't I get the protection that the Jews get on Twitter? Those are hard questions, because then if a removal from society is violence, lots of the things that people call for is also violence, and we don't see them lose their Twitter account. We don't see it lose. There are philosophers who have spent a decade or two just bashing on Muslims, continuously trying to push a message in Western civilization that the Middle East was worth bombing. Basically, that the world would be better if we can just make a tapestry of Western and Israeli culture over the Middle East and replace the people there. And it has shown up recently in the Gaza stuff, but it's been going on forever, since Afghanistan, Iraq, and then justifications of the bombing of Syria, Libya. So many examples of calls for violence. Now, if Lucas Gage is calling for exclusion from society, one could presuppose, even if you want to presuppose the worst and that he meant deportation, we're talking about an act of the state. Now, is it okay to call for violence of the state when it's an act of the state? Well, when Lucas Gage does it, he gets punished for calling to violence. But when someone wants to execute pedos and starts calling for the execution of pedos, he doesn't, or he won't get a 6-month ban for sure. And then when someone talks of bombarding Syria, and which results inevitably in the death of civilians, that's a call for violence, and yet it's allowed. And it's not true what Elon says, that it's just the officials of countries that benefit from a special exemption. Well, no. We see intellectuals like Jordan Peterson have constantly been talking for Israel to pursue the harshest war it could against Gaza. And it has resulted in the death of civilians. Melodic Black Metal says, I think it would work with religion and white people and probably Asian too, in response to Shamrock Shake saying that mass immigration and organized tribes doesn't work. It's looking bad that the censorship is kind of re-rising through all this. We now have a kind of failure at true fairness by Elon. What I would appreciate, the thing is, I can't even tell you that I fully am convinced that Lucas Gage has not made something that is justifiably interpretable as a call for violence. If we want to start saying removing from society is violence, okay, but then certainly Jordan Peterson give them hell is a call for violence. Certainly it is. And it was in a context where certainly it was interpreted by Netanyahu as go ahead, bombard Gaza. Certainly that's a call for violence that resulted in violence. So how is it that we don't get a 6-month suspension for Jordan Peterson? If Elon could make it fair, could show that he's able to punish the other side, I wouldn't be alarmed at all. I would tell my friend Lucas Gage, you know, enjoy your vacation, like I told him on the phone. Enjoy your vacation and at least you know what not to say next time. And Jordan also would know not to say next time. The problem is we never get the other side of this political dichotomy punished. Never, never. New guy says 190,000 dead people. I think it was violent. Yeah, I mean, how can it be that we see an actual killing, a mass killing of people? There are people calling for it explicitly, and that doesn't count. It's because we have these double standards. Certain things are the kind of violence that can be named violence, other things cannot. Looking bad on the side of Meta, of course, no one expects Facebook to take the route of actual fair censorship. They are now designating Zionists as potentially used in dehumanizing context and will be labeled hate speech. So Meta has updated its hate speech policy and will ban posts in which the word Zionist is used in a dehumanizing manner or used to call for violence against Jews or Israelis. So now we have, well, we had the initial YouTube TOS that was telling us you can't attack a race, you must attack a state actor. So it was like, okay, well, it's kind of inaccurate to say Israel many times because there are a lot of Israelis that are in the US supporting the interest of Israel. So the term would be Jews normally. That would be the term we wanted at first. Now, oh, well, you talk about a race. You cannot attack a race. Well, you can attack a state actor. Okay, well, we said, I mean, we progressively moved our language to, okay, we will criticize Israeli political interests. And Israeli eventually got, well, Israeli is a nationality. So it's hate speech if you attack Israeli interests. Well, okay. So so that's why the word Zionism is popular in 2024. It's for the strict reason that we can't use the other words that would be more accurate. because let me tell you, there's a lot of Jews in the US. They wouldn't identify, they wouldn't insist on the label Zionist. Some of them may not be fully into it. But they have political interests that we want to talk about in the same way the left talks about white political interest. See, when the left says abolish whiteness, they're saying something. They're saying something, and we'd like to say the same thing sometimes about Jewish interest. So eventually, Israeli interest became hate speech. Now, Meta is moving. Now, Zionist. Now, Zionist was specifically designed to point to those particular Jewish Israelis that are insisting on installing a nation at the place where Israel is with the exclusion of others. So basically, the word Zionism is almost synonymous to a form of Jewish supremacy, because the idea of Zionism inevitably comes to clash with the people who live there. Inevitably, you are either saying, no, I want to establish Israel and respect the people who live there. But that's not what the Zionists want. They want the people there to be pushed and isolated and some of them killed. So now at this point, Zionist has become hate speech at Facebook. What will be the next word? What will be the next word? I mean, at this point, we have to specify, I am against people who install themselves in places at the expense of the lives of others. I am a genocide hesitant. I'm genocide hesitant. I I have difficulty integrating the idea that some people are more important than others and they deserve to live at the exclusion of others. I'm vaccine hesitant and I'm genocide hesitant. I have doubts. I have doubts about what the, I can't say Israeli, what the people, what the individual genociders in Israel are committing. We have a confirmation from Colorado that health officials have found a human case of plague. Health officials are investigating a human case of the plague in a resident who contracted the infectious disease caused by the bacteria Yersinia pestis. The Pueblo Department of Public Health and Environment confirmed the case, did not disclose details about the individual who contracted the plague. I think it's the history of humanity. And ultimately, the plague, I almost want to present to you a non-parasitic theory of the plague. I know there's a parasite. I understand there's an actual bacteria that's eating you as part of the plague. But I think ultimately it's circumstances of living in big areas, overly concentrated human beings. And I'm not sure it's even the fact that they're concentrated. I think there's just waves of civilization where people are so concentrated that there's some element that eventually lacks in their nutrition. Eventually, that there's just a limit that the physical world will allow. Like, can you imagine these sky-rise buildings filled with apartments on every floor, and sometimes you have 100,000 people living in the same building? How do you get vitamin C to all these people? I mean, and at some point, and of course it's not vitamin C, but it's every single nutrient. At some point, one of them becomes rare because at some point the physical world can't handle it. You end up having a nutrition that misses something. You don't even know what it is. And you end up having, you suffer from disease that you shouldn't suffer from, if otherwise you would have kept on a low population area, having a diverse input of foods, where, okay, well, if you live in such an area, you end up eating diverse enough and from different grounds and from different animals that you end up inevitably eating enough. There's an analysis that was published about the Haktua girl. Apparently, her whole rise and her current handling is being operated by Jews. Haktua girl, aka Ailey Welch, now has a management team called the Penthouse. The Penthouse was founded by the Jew Johnny Forster. According to the NYT, the video creators of the infamous Haktua interview, Tim and DTV, said the first big companies to contact them about Haley were Complex, Barstool Sports, and OnlyFans. All three companies are either run by or owned by Jews. The first official interview Haley did was on a Barstool Sports podcast, a company founded and run by the Jew Dave Portnoy. I can only imagine what the ethnicities of the first large accounts to share the video were. This is a great example of Jews introducing and amplifying debauchery in our society. Very interesting. One more observation in my Jew log. I hadn't realized that this girl was pushed ultimately by Jewish managers, by Jewish promoters, and eventually contacted by Jewish companies. You always have to be on your toes to pay attention to that kind of thing. So the Lucas Gage case. Let's have a look at the post that would have been justifying Elon Musk banning him from Twitter for 6 months. So Elon Musk says Gage made repeated and clear calls for violence, which is illegal, hence 6 month suspension. Rule applies to everyone apart from the UN exemption for recognized leaders of countries. If politicians can say something to the UN General Assembly, then they can say it here. So that is always what Elon says. The problem is we've never seen the other accounts that are constantly calling for violence, especially pro-Israeli, anti-Gaza violence. They never get this 6 month suspension. So according to Elon, it's this post. So Lucas Gage was publishing a newspaper the newspaper says Judaism is poison to the Aryan races. Okay, it's like, could be historical documentation, but I think that it's the phrasing of Lucas Gage that has triggered Elon to be convinced that this was qualifying as an appeal for violence. Lucas Gage had said about the rabbi who was a rabbi that was hostile to, that was pro Adolf Hitler. The rabbi admit that Jewishness is a poison to us. So first, in the context of talking about other things, it's always bad to use poison. Always a big disadvantage. So I don't use that kind of language because I think it opens you to censorship. But then it's this sentence, I think. Lucas Gage says, we have every right to remove these poisonous people and their satanic isms from our society. So here there's many components. The satanic isms. So people were pointing out, this is Lucas Gage talking about, you know, racism, sexism, all of those far left beliefs that are toxic to society. But since there's the word "and," we can literally remove this from the sentence. It doesn't matter. The problem is we have every right to remove these poisonous people from our society. The problem is physical removal has been more or less of a joke following the Hans Hermann Hoppe libertarian conference, where he says, if people talk about communism, we have to physically remove them. And physically remove, is either a deportation or a killing. It's one of these two things. Or it's some form of isolation. So in the most extreme interpretation of what he said to kill, basically, or to deport. Now, there are softer understandings. You could say, well, remove from society. There's lots of people who argue for my removal of society. There's lots of people who say, you know, people like you shouldn't exist. And so it can mean kind of you are undesirable. We shouldn't engage with you. So there are some softer interpretation, but you have to grant it to Elon. It's not taken out of nowhere. This is a sentence that suggests in its most basic interpretation, a deportation at least. So is deportation violence? I mean, in my view, anything that the state does is violence. Imprisoning people is violence. Forcing vaccines on people is violence. Taxing people is violence. Doing so, of course, with the threat of violence or the threat of imprisonment. So, a priori, I would say, okay, it is one interpretation of this sentence that is one of violence. But we then end up with two points. The Lucas Gage case ultimately boils down to this. Is it incitement of violence to call for the removal of these poisonous people from society? Elon Musk decided that it was. I would point to two things. One, the statement would pass as legal under a First Amendment Supreme Court review. Removal from society may mean various things, including in political conversation, removal from power. It could even mean let's not be friends with these people. So there was not a targeting of anyone. And you could totally say this in a legal court case and you would be cleared by First Amendment analysis. There was no targeting of that violence. So here there's a problem of the contradictions between what Elon says about Twitter and what Elon does. Elon says about Twitter that anything legal in the US can be said on Twitter. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. Because the statement of Gage is, you can interpret it as a call for violence, but it's definitely legal under First Amendment analysis. The second thing that seems wrong about the messaging of Twitter is that Twitter has no category for general incitement for violence. Twitter says if your call for violence needs to be targeted to constitute a harassment of the kind that is reportable on Twitter. So, for example, to just say, oh, you know, I think that Vladimir Putin is evil, and oh my God, should we encourage Ukraine to fight hard against the Russians? See, that is not a targeted call for violence. And that doesn't fall under something that I would expect to be banned on Twitter. But in the very same way, the Lucas Gage appeal here, even if interpreted as deportation or even killing, it was not targeted at someone, was not threatening violence to someone, and for this reason would fall under legal under the First Amendment. So that's my first point. The second point is there are plenty of clearer calls for violence that never led to a six-month ban. For instance, Jordan Peterson telling Netanyahu, give him hell. And hell they've gotten. Literally a genocide has happened before our eyes and was called for a day before on X, leading to no punishment at all. Many people are sharing in replies other examples. Let's have a look at some of what people have found that never led to a six-month ban. James Wood saying, no ceasefire, no compromise, no forgiveness. Hashtag kill them all. Now, hashtag kill them all is definitely... it's not even an appeal for violence on merely. It's an appeal for mass violence. Of mass killing, mass elimination, and it's explicit. There is no alternative interpretation. Kill them all! After a review of the available information, we want to let you know that real James Wood hasn't broken our safety policies. So see, the kill them all was not specific enough. It couldn't be interpreted as, He was trying to intimidate someone. He was targeting a specific users. And it wasn't even a violation of the rules. So no banning of any kind on James Wood for this one. Yakov Wolf, frustrated following the October 7th event. Flatten everything. Spare no school, no children's hospital, no old age home. Delete their entire gene pool of the face of the earth. That sounds like a genocidal call to me. It's very explicit. There is, unlike the Lucas Gage case, there is no alternative interpretation that would be more on the side of peace. So definitely we have an appeal for genocide here. Did this guy get punished for 6 months? Absolutely not. There are lots of examples being given in these threads, and it is pretty clear at this point that Lucas Gage is being punished for something that the other side constantly does and does clearer than he's ever done. So as long as we can't get fairness, it's very hard to take a final stance on this point. Like, to people who say, I interpret the sentence of Lucas Gage as an appeal for violence, I will grant that it's a possible interpretation. But then why are these other very clear appeal for violence not getting punished by the same degree of punishment as Lucas Gage? And I think that in the subconscious of most of the people who are pursuing the punishment of Lucas Gage, there is what Jason Kessler has said. And I can't see any more the post because I blocked him. Because Jason Kessler has been... there it is. I can see the post now. Jason Kessler is this guy who was a guest on the public space back in the days. He is the guy who, tried to start a white civil rights organization, and he was part of Charlottesville protest, and he tried even to do Charlottesville 2, and it was very... It was a very limited event that didn't work super well. New guy says sound dropped in level. Hello? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, somehow there's something unstable. Hopefully we are back to higher level. But it's totally related to what I had 10 minutes to take at the beginning of the show. I was, what is happening? Anyways, thank you for letting me know. So Jason Kessler is the Mad Dimension guy who had organized a Charlottesville 2, and he's always been super pissed at me because at some point he tried picking a fight with Richard Spencer, saying Richard Spencer is a poor leader, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck? And he was kind of expecting somehow that I would side with him and that I would say, oh, yes, white nationalist must disavow Richard Spencer. And it was kind of ridiculous and childish, is attempt then. And my reaction to him, and he came on the show, and I said, look, your allegations and your attacks on Richard Spencer, they leave me totally cold. I will not start denying or disavowing Richard Spencer for the case that you're making. And he was pissed about this for years, and he's still pissed at it. Because today we interacted on Twitter, and I just criticized his tweet, which is unrelated to this. But I criticized his tweet, and he came back by saying, your business model is to exploit e-celebs like Richard Spencer. It's like, bro, I don't really have a business model anymore. I don't make much money from my streaming. I don't know if you've been around here. It's a small show on Odyssey. I don't have any guest. And he was like, yeah, but you still side with Richard Spencer. Holy shit, how can someone carry so much jealousy over the years and so that he's still pissed at it in 2024 and still accuses me of, oh, you sided with Richard Spencer because he's more popular. All I have to do is become... And he said this, it was ridiculous. He said this today. All I would need to do is become more popular and you're going to side with me. Bro, I've always justified rationally my positions. I'm sorry that you came and you wanted me to disavow a friend of mine, and I said no. That's it. Move on, bro. It's like, anyways, you're asking Papa JF to disavow. Do you have any idea who the fuck I am? Did I disavow anyone ever? I don't think so. Papa JF doesn't even know disavow. It's like you're trying to have something that I cannot do. You're trying to force me to do something. I'm a radical libertarian, bro. I will never disavow anyone. Sorry. And to come here and to try to get me to disavow, not only to disavow, which would be ridiculous of you first, but to disavow on top of it a leader like Richard Spencer, who, you know, you may disagree with some of his strategies, but he's been undeniably changing the world and expressing a very original thought over the years, and he's always been a valuable thinker. Like, you don't compare with Richard Spencer. I'm sorry, Jason. Anyways, all of this to say, I blocked him because he was delusional. He was delusional with attributing intents to me that, holy, you don't know me. You don't know me if you think that's how I work. I don't work by popularity. I am the top artist in the world. Literally, popularity, my brain is opaque to it. I don't give a shit. Do you think I would be hanging out in these circles, these political and social circles, if I gave a shit about popularity? You are insane. You are insane, Jason Kessler. You are, like, insane is a word that is often misused, but Jason Kessler actually qualifies. Like, insane in the sense of being not sane, sick in the head. You are keeping gripe, and it's unhealthy for you. Anyways, I think that what he was expressing in this tweet, which started my old critique of him, I think it's what's on people's mind. I think it's the source of the cognitive dissonance with Lucas Gage. He said, when it comes to the point that you're thinking about abandoning your wife and children to rant about Jews 24/7 online, a 6-month mental health break is probably in your best interest. So here we go. The true reason that Lucas Gage is being targeted with this most exceptional operation by Elon is that, yes, Lucas Gage suffers from PTSD, okay, and he's an anxious guy, and he's been at the Twitter virality in the last few months intensely, leading a lot of people to say he's not well. So basically, it's the stacking of all these videos constantly talking about Jews, constantly doing it, that gave the feeling to people, and even Richard Spencer took this position, that Lucas Gage is not doing well. Now, that I have a strong opinion on, because now you're falling into my area of expertise. What Lucas Gage has been doing on his Twitter account is professional entertainment in the space of anti-Zionist discourse. He's been engaging in it emotionally to an extent, but what I see, knowing the guy very well and knowing to what extent is his anxiety and PTSD, I know exactly how it affects him, and I know exactly how his mind works. And let me tell you this, the recent behavior of Lucas Gage is just his default expressive self. He is not suffering from a particular psychotic breakdown of any kind. So you may have the impression, because there he is, you know, he's going at the edge, and he's being edgy, and he's being insistent, and he's being exaggerative in a lot of what he does. but he is not under a psychotic or anxiety breakdown. He is not under a panic attack type of phenomenon. And in my view, he is not engaging in all this in the last 2 months because he's not well. He's doing it because he's a showman. He's a showman, a creative artist for whom the engagement with the public is his art, okay? The engagement with the public and the virality of Lucas Gay. I know this guy, I've been knowing this guy for like 10, 12 years, okay? I know him deeply. And what he's engaging on is provocative public thinking in an artsy form. And he does it for the entertainment. Yeah, DK Shadow says he's a living shitpost. Exactly. But he's not doing it driven by mental health issues. And he has a very structured style to his art, which consists in just just taking everything build him up around him and just denying it, saying, no, you will not arrest me in that way. And no, Jews, you cannot do this. And so he is attracting, in that sense, more hate toward him. But that builds to his performance art. It builds into what becomes his performance art. So, and we would be a very bad society, and in a way, the liberal states have already taken that direction. The leftist states have already taken that direction. It would be a very sick society if you, Elon Musk, or me, or anyone else, decided that someone needs a mental health breakdown, a break. And this is what Jason Kessler is. Like, who the fuck are you to decide that someone else needs a break? You shouldn't be allowed to do this. And yet we see this rising, the nanny state, the probate courts, the, oh, well, you're 19 years old, but you can't decide who you marry. This is extremely dangerous stuff, guys. And be very careful. Elon, think about it. Think about it, because ultimately you are judging someone for a cognitive difference. That's ultimately what it boils down to. Your little ladies at the California Twitter HQ, wherever they are, they've been alarmed because they have experienced the male creative art of Lucas Gage. And they have been shocked by it, and they are rejecting it. But it is one of the goals of the Lucas Gage creative art to be rejected. So what I'm saying is, you have still the same pattern of the bad censorship that we've seen. You are based in double standard. You are not punishing the other side. You are not interpreting things in the most giving ways, in the most generous ways you could. Those are the criteria of bad censorship. And most importantly, especially with tweets of Jason Kessler, which I think reveal what's happening across the whole Twitter HQ right now, is that there's a bunch of moral busybodies who are watching all these videos and they're like, oh, he made 8 videos about the Jews today. And he's talking about the Jews with a sword in his hand, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. This is the Lucas Gage creative art. And the fact that you had to pick this one tweet to find an appeal to violence, and it's not even as clear as other tweets that you've not punished, tells me that you are ultimately a bigot. That's what we're seeing. We have cognitive bigotry here. Cognitive bigotry for the form of expression of a man who's a man from the military, so he's been seeing and hearing about violence forever. So he expresses himself in a manly way, and that's what he's getting punished for right now. I would urge Elon to reconsider. Elon, if what you want from Lucas Gage is an apology, I can organize this. I am friends with Lucas Gage. we can get on a space, he can show that he understood his errors and that he won't do it again. But punishing him for the whole election period in a context where you've not punished the other side as hard leaves a bad record. And I would really like to solve this. I would really like to explain to Elon, look, he may have went too far in your interpretation of his words, but it's how he does his creative viral art. On the other hand, Lucas, do you understand that you can't use that kind of sentence, which let it be heard by your readers that maybe that's what you mean? And I think we could get this resolved and reinstate Lucas Gage tomorrow. Elon, if you're open for this, I will organize this. Lucas, I'm sure he is open for it. Let's make this happen, guys. Send this tweet, send this clip to Elon. I will clip it. I will put it on my X. And let's make this happen because Lucas is an intelligent man. He can understand. If you say don't cross this line anymore, he will not cross this line. So he just needs to be coached with the proper requirements that you want to put on him. That is what I had to say for tonight. Haley has released delegates urging them to back Trump ahead of the RNC convention. So meaning that she's not a candidate anymore. We had a super chat. Mark D says, scam alert, just to let you know, guys, in case others might become targets, someone trying to impersonate JF left me a message on yesterday's video replying to one of my chats. He was trying to get me to message him on Telegram, probably a scam. Well, thanks for alerting me and the people about this. In fact, the only way I would contact you, make sure that it's one of my original account that controls the Discord server or the Telegram channel, because people just put my picture and they make fake accounts. I think most of you are knowledgeable enough in computers not to fall for this. But yeah, so be careful. There are imitators out there. And I blocked this guy. This guy I blocked, so you shouldn't see his comment anymore. The efforts to ditch Biden. You know, I made a prediction to James of Modern Day Debate in private just before the debate started last Saturday. He asked me, JF, do you think it's likely that Biden will be replaced? And it was in the talk back then, replacing Biden. And I said, no, I think it's unlikely that he will be replaced. I think he's decided to stay, and it's going to be too hard. So it's not going to happen unless he dies. And CNN today is saying efforts to ditch Biden stall as Democrats divide on the path forward. So in effect, I think we are pretty certain to get a Biden candidate, unless he dies. Illinois is a drag on the U.S. economy, continues to be a taker from the federal government, according to a new report. Yeah, well, eventually, I can imagine that there will be some states who... I mean, it's the same thing in Canada. The problem is you make a law that has a fixed income and taxes at this level for this income, and eventually there are states who exploit this. There are states or provinces who become specialists at not crossing your tax thresholds and draining more grants, paying less taxes, and eventually the whole of America will be untenable as a kind of pool of injustices just operated by the state. So that's the consequence of having these big nations and guided by democracy, because democracy means giving the people the power to vote themselves benefits. and they will. Saturn Shine says they're just feeling things out to see if there's support for someone else so they can do the pretend voting thing. If you have a theory that maybe Biden, there is a secret plan to replace Biden, maybe there is, but I think it's unlikely. All right, guys, thank you for being here, and sorry about the audio issues and the variations, but I think we have attained an acceptable level for the end of the show. I'll be tweeting to Elon. I would like to put Elon and Lucas on a Twitter space. It will take 2 minutes of your time, Elon. I want to make a case that we can solve this quicker than in 6 months. And let's put an end to it. Do you really want Elon to be dealing with, you know, constant harassment? The ex-users will be pissed for 6 months and they're going to keep bringing it back in your replies. Let's get this fixed in 2 minutes.